السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حضرت مفتي عبد القادر صاحب دامت بركاته. Once again, أهلاً وسهلاً ومرحباً to you, حضرت مفتي صاحب إن شاء الله العزيز. As promised, the last half an hour, we will utilize it for our question and answer. حضرت مفتي صاحب إن شاء الله العزيز, I hope we are ready for it. The first question that comes to حضرت مفتي صاحب, is the voice of a woman aura or not? One. And number two, is it permissible to listen to a woman reciting qira'ah?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Barakallahu feekum wa salim kareem. Jazakallahu khairan to our Junaid Mota. Jee, Maulana, for you, we're ready all the time. Ever ready, battery. MashaAllah. Before we respond to the questions, few announcements. Any one of you from Durban, Maritzburg, coming towards our side of the world, yeah, Johannesburg, surroundings, Lanesia, suddenly it's gone very, very cold. Yesterday also, last night, Maghrib time, Isha time, and now Fajr time, very cold. Every person in the masjid had his jersey and that on. So if you come in the side, bring some winter clothes with you. Suddenly the weather has changed. Everything is in the hands of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Our Junaid Mota informed me now that the Ansar listeners missed out the tafsir. So we're going back to that old format of 4 o'clock will be Adhan, not 10 to 4. So we'll go back tomorrow. It's good to start Wednesday something, you see. So we go back to that, inshallah. Mawla Salim Kareem will introduce the program, 4 o'clock, then the Adhan, and then the Dua. And Junaid Mota says that then I must start at 4:10, 10 past 4 from tomorrow, inshallah, till maximum 20 to 5 or quarter to 5 in between there, right? And then I will go away for Fajr Salat, and then when I come back, then 5:30, and in between, all the other programs will play. So that's the second announcement. And then from today, remember, Junaid Mota will prepare 2 different podcasts. Is that correct, Junaid Mota? Right. So one is before the Salat, Fajr Salat, and one is this Q&A. So now you will get 4 podcasts. One is Maulana Musa Akudi, then Mufti Aku, and then 2 my podcasts. So from today, remember that is what you will get, inshallah al-Aziz. Allah Jalla Wala make easy for all parties. We don't want our Ansar listeners to miss out anything. Remember that. So inshallah, 4 o'clock Adhan, and then 10 past 4 the program will start, inshallah al-Aziz, tomorrow. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Question number 1. Is a woman's voice aura or not? Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah, I'm not sure if you have that, Maulana, but it's a wonderful kitab to have. That it is Hazrat Tanwi Nawarallahu Marqadahu took his senior khulafa and gave them certain parts of the noble Quran and to write it in all in Arabic. So Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah, because when I used to study there, I used to try and get all his books. You see that, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib. We met him several times. He passed away on the 10th of Shawwal, 1976, you see. So mashallah, the book's name is called Ahkamul Quran and Al-Mujalladul Khamis. So there, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah discusses this ayat here. فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ وَقُلْنَ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. So the question is asked, that is a woman's voice aura or not? So there he's written in Ahkamul Quran in Arabic, صَوْتُ الْمَرْأَى لَيْسَ بِعُورَةٍ. And you can see in Ma'riful Quran and so forth, under chapter number 33 and verse number 32. So that is where your reference is. That's first one. I, for example, phone your house, right? Your wife, your daughter, your sister picks up and I'll ask her. So what you will say is haram or halal? Obviously it's halal. But Allah forbid if I start speaking or she starts speaking or both the parties start speaking in a seductive tone and you can see the lady is sending you some subtle message or you sending her a subtle message, Allah forbid. So all that is haram. So therefore Quran Kareem states, وَقُلْنَ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. You must speak in a stern manner, you see that. So that's the first answer there. So that's the fatwa. A woman's voice is not aura. Remember that. When the ulama, our ulama, anybody else say that, that is Allah sabili taqwa. That precaution and so forth. I gave you all the references as well. Number two is this. Now a woman is going to read Qirat. She's going to read Surah Rahman or Surah Waqiyah or whatever Surah. And now the men are going to listen. Is that permissible? Definitely not permissible. Why? Now she's going to tune it up. You see that? And that's in the same verse. That fala takhda'na bil qawl. Don't speak in that voice, that soft tone and that alluring tone, that seductive tone. Fayatma'a alladhi fi qalbihi marad. Then the people, you must remember that in whose hearts is a disease of nifaq and hypocrisy, they might get certain ideas and so forth. I give you incident from the hadith. You know, the Sahaba who were dark in complexion, like African origin, said Bilal bin Rabah al-Habashi radiallahu anhu warda. Nabi Musa alayhi salam is Nabi, dark in complexion. Remember, Allama Qastalani writes in his commentary, Ka'annahu rajulun sudaniyun, but Allah elevates him. 136 times his Nami, Ismi Grami, honorable name is mentioned in the Quran Sharif. Go open Mishkat Sharif, go open Mustadi Ahmed. You know, in those days when they were traveling, so you had the person pulling the camel, you see, and the passengers, the ladies, and so forth. So this Sahabi African, Anjashah, radiallahu anhu arda, Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Ya Anjashah, Rifqan bil qawarir, Rifqan bil qawarir. Don't sing so much with your best voice. They are glasses, yeah. Glasses, the women, they will fall in love with your voice and so forth and so on. So imagine if that is the case with the men, then what about women then? So that definitely not permissible. Women read in front of women is fine. But in front of us, the men, and tune it up and all that, definitely not permissible.
Mufti Sahab, I want to ask a question if mehendi designs on the hands are permissible.
Remember that in Mishkat Sharif there's a hadith, one day a lady behind the hijab and parda was giving something to the master Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then he, Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked, Ayadu Rajulin Awimra'a? Is this a hand of a male or a female? Meaning that the man's hand normally will be clear, no mendi and no designs and no nothing there, and henna and so forth. For you women to put that is sunnah, to put henna and mehendi and so forth is highly encouraged in Islam. Now the question comes, okay, one is the plain henna, one is the designed one. So there's no prohibition on it. Yes, if any Maulana Mufti tells you that you can't use the design one and so forth. So as long as the design is not the symbol, now is Diwali season going, that's their business. It's got nothing to do with us, you must remember. You go put a symbol of Diwali or Christmas or Christians or some other symbol. That is haram, obviously. But the normal design you just make, so the fatwa verdict will be permissible. Taqwa is different, that you say you are better and so forth. So that will be a precautionary stance, but otherwise with design also. Whether you're married, unmarried, all permissible, acceptable. We shouldn't make so much hulu and go to another extreme and so forth. When the nusus and the Quranic text and prophetic text is in front of us, so remember that now we want to make everything haram, so that will make hulu and go to another extreme. So that will be the fatwa, yes, permissible, provided it is not the symbol and the nishani of any cult, religion or ideology.
Mufti Sahab, on the occasion of nikah, some men put mehendi on their hands. Is this permissible?
Not permissible for men to do that. Now you see that you want to imitate the women. Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La'ana Allahu al-mutashabbihin wal-mutashabbihat." Allah hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, Allah's curse is on the men who imitate the women and the women who imitate the men. So now you want to put mehendi there on your hands and feet, and Allah alone knows where and all that. So that we say no, should stay away, abstain from that. You women want to cut your hair, you see, from the back when you look, You don't know the lady is Eve or is Steve. So all that is haram, you must remember that. Definitely not permissible. Male must remain male and female must remain female. You see this Trump, he's a psychopath, he's a nutcase, you must remember that. I think he eats too many more coconuts, you know. But one good thing he did, he said, what is the correct, we must say that also. He said, yeah, in America, there are only two genders, male and female. There's no third gender. So at least on that point, he was right. Sometimes the shaitan also speaks the truth, you know. So shaitan taught Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, read Ayatul Kursi, and you will remain safe from the shaitan and the attack and assault of shaitan. Go open Muslim Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, and so. So therefore, that we must accept that. That there's only two genders, and the men must retain their masculinity, and the women must maintain their femininity. So it don't mean now transgender and imitating one another and so forth. All that absolutely haram in Islam, it has no place in Islam.
If someone comes to Jeddah from Mecca after they finish making Umrah for visiting, do they have to put on an ihram again and make another Umrah when going back to Mecca?
Mawla Salim Kareem, Hafizahullah, he, his wife, children, grandchildren, mashallah, went for Umrah. So now let's just assume, I don't know the exact route, but I'm assuming, presuming. So Mawlana went via Dubai, or via Yazdan, Doha, Qatar, or via Egypt, Cairo, or via Addis Ababa, and so forth. So from there, the place over your transit, you know, stop over, there over there you fasten your ihram, and you perform your Umrah. So everything is perfect. Now you want to do some shopping, or you want to meet some family, or you got some work in Jeddah. So when you come to Jeddah and now you're returning, must you fasten the ihram? No, there's no need for you to fasten the ihram. On that day, it's ijma and consensus. Two, three interesting things for you. Jeddah. What is the meaning of Jeddah? Jeddah means grandmother. So they say, this is history, we can't prove it conclusively, that from Quran and Sunnah, but it is famous among the old sheikhs and mashayikhs. They themselves took us there. So if you go to Jeddah, you will see one graveyard cemetery. There is a long grave, and they tell you Sayyidah Hawa radiallahu anha is buried there, hence the name Jeddah. So, but we can't say it's 100%. You can say most probably, maybe, and so forth. I heard Sheikh bin Baz and them. I have to go sit by them. You must remember, Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah, he passed away in 1999. Sheikh Albani passed away in 1999. Sheikh Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi, nawwarallahu marqadahu, passed away in 99. These were the giants, you know, Sheikh Abul Hasan Nadwi and them. So anyway, you must remember that. So Sheikh bin Baz, I heard him saying many times, Jeddah. So what they mean by saying Jeddah? So Jeddah with the Dhamma, with the Pesh on the Jim will mean the harbor. And if you know any history of Jeddah and the harbor, that harbor and port became very, very functional during the time of Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. So therefore, when you go, you must learn all these things there. So from Makkah, you perform your Umrah already. Now you come to Jeddah and you go back. If you want to fasten the ihram, make Umrah permissible, but not compulsory, not mandatory. You can go back with your normal clothes, all permissible.
Mufti Saab, if a woman is in the state of haiz, can she enter the Al-Aqsa compound?
The Al-Aqsa compound is 36 acres, and every tile there, every brick there is part of the masjid. Masjid does not mean a structure. Masjid means the land and the sand. Ay min al-farshi ila al-arsh. From the land and the sand, right to the throne of Almighty Allah, all that is masjid. Therefore, on top, you can't be putting flats and shops and all that. That first you had the masjid, and then you say, let's do that. Not permissible. Yes, from the start, if you had that idea, that is a different issue. So Masjidul Aqsa is not only Masjid Qibli, the masjid and the structure you see in front, or Qubbatu Sakhra, the dome of the rock, the golden dome, the beautiful dome, from where he, Mustafa, Rahmatulil Alameen, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, went for Mi'raj. So remember that the entire compound is the masjid. And for you ladies to enter any masjid in the state of menses and haiz and all your napaki, nifas and postnatal, absolutely haram. If somebody asks you, where's the dalil, evidence for it? You must say, go to the Hajj of Mustafa, Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mother Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha states that we left on the 25th of Zulqa'dah, the 10th year of the Hijrah, right? From Medina Munawwara after the Saturday Zuhur prayer. We spent Saturday night there in Zul Hulayfa, Bir Ali, Abar Ali, nowadays they call it. And then Sunday after Zuhur, they made their intentions. Those who made intention of the Tamattu Hajj, they made intention of Umrah. Siddiqa, Bintu Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, Mother Aisha Siddiqa made intention of the Tamattu, so Umrah only. Others made intention of Ifrad, Hajj only. Third group made intention of Umrah and Hajj Qiran. Lo and behold, this is the beauty and the glory of Islam. Now they coming. Lo and behold, when she reads Sarif. Sarif is the place where Sayyida Maymuna radiallahu anha is buried there. So around that area there, when she came, her napaki, her menses started. They entered Makkah Mukarramah on the 4th of Zulhijjah. That's a Sunday. 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th Thursday, they have to go now to Mina. She says, Ya Rasulullah, I'm still in my napaki state, in my menses. So then, now she couldn't perform Umrah, she couldn't go in the masjid. Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, for Mother Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, make faskul Umrah ila al-hajj. Cancel your Umrah intention and make Hajj only. So she perform a Ifrad Hajj. All the other wives perform Umrah and Hajj. On the night of the 14th, she came crying, Ya Rasulullah, all the honorable wives perform Umrah Hajj, I only perform Hajj. So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her on the night of the 14th, fine, go with your brother Abdul Rahman, go there to Tan'im. Now that masjid is called Masjid Aisha, so you go and perform Umrah. And from there, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah and the fuqaha and the jurors say, after your Hajj, if you perform a Umrah, then your Tawaful Wida is saqit and it falls off and is waved off. See how many masail we can learn from here. So therefore, we must understand that if a person came, you must remember in the state of menses, then you can't enter anywhere. The lady came, then she can't enter any masjid in that state of menses or nifas, your postnatal, your postpartum, all haram, that is not permissible.
Mufti Sahab, how many rakats do I perform for qaza from the time I became baligh?
First and foremost, you must know when you become baligh. The boy, the earliest he becomes baligh at the age of 12 lunar years. And that will happen with ihtilam. When you see a map of Malawi or Hamanskral or Turkey or wherever you see that. And the lady, the daughter, when does she become baligh? Earliest the age of 9. I just received a report in this week here. Hundreds of thousands of girls in South Africa from 10 years old to 13 years old, pregnant in the primary schools and so forth and so on. That is your South Africa. You understand? The teachers want to try, the students want to try, they want to experiment. Just park their rifle wherever they get placed. You see, they are shaitans, haramis, what you expect. So anyway, you must remember, so you, my daughter, earliest you get baligha is when you're 9 lunar years old. And then how will you know you are baligha after 9 years old? So then when you get your hayz, once you get your hayz, your menses, then you must know you are baligha, you have to read 5 daily salat, you have to fast during Ramadan and so forth. You, my brother, now you are 20, 25, 30 years old. So from the time you became baligh, so you must work out which salat you used to read. Okay, Maghrib salat I used to read, Fajr I shouldn't read only in Ramadan, Asr I should hardly read, so like that you must calculate. So now you got 1,000 salats to read. For example, I'm giving. So now for Fajr salat, you must read 2. For Zuhur salat, you must read 4. For Asr, 4. For Maghrib, 3. For Isha, 4. And Hanafis only say, you must read the Witr also for Qadha. The Shafis and Malikis, they say, there's no Qadha for the Witr. You got that now? So that's one issue. Second issue, the timing, when can you read it? You got the whole day and the whole night for Qaza Salat, beside 3 times. Whilst the sun is rising and you wait 15 minutes or so, so after that then you read your Qaza. And when the sun is istiwa, what you call zawal is a wrong term that I see nowadays people are changing it in a masjid, I get very happy. So istiwa, when the sun is at the zenith, so 1-2 minutes, 2 minutes before that, 1-2 minutes after that, then you can't read salat. You see, by us now it's 11:54. So that was written there in the timetable in the masjid, I see. So now from 11:51, 52, you wait till 56, 57, for example, 5 minutes. And then you can start reading. You see, let's just say from 12 o'clock onwards, you can start reading, you must remember. So that is that when the sun is at the zenith, you can't read. And then sunset time, you can't read. And the 10, 15 minutes before that, you can't read before sunset, the qadha salat that is. So beside the times, you can read qadha salat anytime. So you got whole day, whole night basically. So then read your salat. Today the imam read Surah Muddathir. Ma salakakum fi saqar. What made you walk straight into Jahannam? First thing they will say, they walked into the hellfire. Qalu lam nakum minal musallin. We never used to read salat. We read when we feel like. You go straight Jahannam. Hadith and the hellfire. Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said hadith in Tirmidhi. Awwalu ma yuhasabu bil abdu yawm al-qiyamah as-salat. The first thing we'll be questioned about on the day of justice is the salat. So therefore we must be meticulous and particular about salat.
Mufti Sahib, on the same topic, can we read the qaza after fajr and after asr salat?
100%. Remember what they mean is you read your own asr salat and now you want to read qaza, it's permissible. But if you in the masjid and you read the qaza, it's permissible, but it's better to go home, because to miss your salat is sinful, a major sin. And now everybody will know that every day you're reading certain amount. You can read Zuhur Qaza, Maghrib Qaza, Isha, any Qaza you can read. So after your own Asr Salat, but now you're making Izharul Ma'asiyah. You're telling everybody you miss so many salat. So therefore, that's not a good idea. So go and read it in your house, and that will be very preferable and desirable. Similarly, after your Fajr Salat, so now today we finish Fajr Salat 5 o'clock because time change. So 10 to 5 we started Fajr, so 5 o'clock, 5 plus 5. So 10 plus 5, quarter plus 5, I read Qadha Salat, you read Qadha Salat. So totally permissible, there's no problem with that according to all the schools. But again, the same law, it's better to make the Qadha in the privacy of your home.
Mufti Sahib, can children go under the mother's name should the parents get divorced?
Totally haram. Do you know what you are doing? Anna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. You are telling the world that all 3, 4, 5 children of yours are harami children, are illegitimate children. You and your boyfriend, you eloped. You and your lover, you eloped. And then you gave birth to a baby boy, baby girl. So there's no sin upon them. They masoom. But now you go and register the child. So in Islam, when it's a haram child, an illegitimate child, a bi, yulhaqul waladu bil That's the only time in Islam you will then register the child with the mother's name. Now this husband divorced you. His surname was ABC. Now you want to make it XYZ and turn it to your surname, absolutely haram. Quran Kareem, the other day somebody asked me, they want to adopt a boy and a girl, whatever you. So I told them, you don't change that name. Remember, Quran is very clear on this. Chapter 33, verse number 5. Ud'uhum li'abaihim huwa aqsatu indallah. You must call the adopted children by the biological father's name. That is justice by Allah Jalla Wala. But sometimes the social workers don't divulge to you who the biological father, mother and them are. So if you don't know, فَإِن لَمْ تَعْلَمُوا آبَاءَهُمْ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ, then you will say they are your brothers in Islam. Is a boy Zaid, Zaid Islam. Is a daughter Zainab Islam. What's that you can use? But you can't go and register your adopted child on your name, the adopted father, absolutely haram. Chapter 33, verse 5. You are my sister, my daughter. You can't go register your children by your maiden name after your husband divorced you. So you want to spite him. So what are you doing? Do you know what you are doing? Open Mishkat, open Mustad Ahmad Ibn Majah. من انتسب الى غير ابي, whosoever takes the lineage of the children to somebody else beside the biological father, فَعَلَيْهِ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. Allah's curse is on that person, the angel's curse is on that person, the people's curse is on that person. Absolutely, totally haram. Yes, if your children are harami, children illegitimate, then the lineage will go to the mother and not the father.
Mufti Sahib, if a person accepts Islam, must they change their name?
Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla gives us glad tidings when people embrace Islam sincerely and they love what Islam and they pass away with Iman and Islam. Chapter 8, verse number 38, قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِيَّنْتَهُ يُغْفَرْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. So that their sins of the past are forgiven, you see that. He Habibuna Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Sallam and Khalid bin Walid and came in the month of Safar, in the 8th year of the Hijrah, and they said, I want to embrace Islam. But it was very difficult for Khalid radiallahu anhu warda to make eye contact with the master. He remembers what he did in the Battle of Uhud, what he did on the occasion of Sulah Hudaybiyah. So Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam pacified him. He said, Innal Islama yahdimu ma kana qabla. Islam expunges, erases the sins of the past. You see that? That is the beauty of Islam. So now regarding the name Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, hadith in Abu Dawood, Innakum tud'auna yawm al-qiyamah bi asma'ikum wa asma'i abaikum fa ahsinu asma'akum. Tomorrow on the day of justice you will be called by your name and your father's name, Abdul Qadir bin Ismail bin Usman bin Hussein, like that. So you'll be called. Therefore choose and keep good names. So now it depends that male embraced Islam, his name is David, his name is Noah. So he can maintain that name. David is Dawood and Noah is Nuh. And that if he changes it to Dawood or to Noah, Nuh, and it's better, but if he maintains it, there won't be a sin upon him. Similarly, that lady's name is Maria, Maria Qibtiya, the son of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam Ibrahim. His mother's name Maria Qibtiya, Maria the Copt. You see, Coptic church day in Cairo, Egypt, you get. So then, obviously, she was Muslim and everything. So you must remember that, so if you don't change it. But now the name is some funny name of either Lingam or Yoni or something like that, you understood? So, Abu Lahab's name, Abdul Uzza. Uzza is the idol. And now he says he's the slave of the idol. So words like that, then it's compulsory to change the name. So we must know what the meaning is. And then from there you take it. It's not necessary that every time you have to change the name. Last question.
Mufti Sahib, can females read Salah without a long pant izhar?
Remember that the hadith of Umm Salama radiallahu anha in Bulughul Maram, Mishkat, Muslim Sharif, all that you will find that it is jaiz, but in this day, this age, we say you can't do that. So when a lady does that, she wears that long maxi. So first condition will be, it must not be transparent. Number two, that she must have socks and stockings on. Because when she goes into ruku, sujood, the dress, that maxi will come up. And her ankles and her calves, all that will be exposed. Third one, Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi hadith, rahimallah. Allah special mercy on those women who wear the izar and is more haya, more shame and modesty. So therefore, in this day and this age, we don't encourage this. You must remember, many women, you know, when we travel, we go here, there. So sometimes we have to read salah. They'll tell you there's the namaz room, there's this. You open the musalla, you find the ladies' izar there. So they run around without izar. Salah time, they pull the izar up. So all like comics, you understand, and cartoons, you know, are not permissible, all this. You must wear in this day and this age your izar. And that because most of you, your clothing is transparent, or you don't wear socks and stockings, so your salat will become null and void. May Almighty Allah Jalla Wala grant us the quality of Iman and Haya. Inna likulli deenin khuluqa wa khuluqul Islam al Haya. We end today's Q&A on the wonderful, beautiful hadith of Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned by Imam Malik rahimahullah in his Mu'atta. Every religion has the unique feature, and the unique feature of and the characteristic of Islam is haya, shame and modesty. So my sisters, that wear your izar, and then you know you got more haya, more shame. Allah give tawfiq. Jazakallahu khairan, ma salim kareem. Junaid Mota, you prepared the podcast. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.